Welcome to the September meeting of the Louisville Forum. I'm Dot Ridings, president of the Forum, which presents monthly programs on important and sometimes controversial local issues. The Forum is nonpartisan, does not endorse any candidates or take a position on any issue, but we certainly encourage all of you to do so. And we invite anyone in the community who's interested in this kind of an organization to join the Forum, which includes 12 monthly meetings and meals, as well as conversations with newsmakers and other interesting people. So if you would like to see more about us, check out our website, which is www.louisvilleforum.org, or speak to any member of the Forum board who is in the audience. We'd be delighted to have you join us. Our next meeting is on the third Wednesday of October, 1 week later than usual, and to accommodate the schedules of the candidates who are competing for election to the United States Congress from Kentucky's 3rd District. Discussing that race and their positions on the issues will be Republican challenger Todd Lally and the incumbent Democrat John Yarmuth. That date is Wednesday, October 20th at noon. Please make your reservation through our reservation line, 329-0111, and do it soon. There's a reservation deadline of noon Wednesday, October 13th, and we do expect a full house. We can guarantee seating only to Forum members, and all other reservations are on a space available basis. And as an early reminder, if there's a topic or issue you'd like discussed at a future Forum meeting, you're invited to attend one of our monthly programs and issues meetings held next month on the second Wednesday, October 13th, at the law offices of Greenebaum, Dahl, and McDonald. And now for today's program. Our guest moderator is WHAS 11 political editor and on-air reporter Joe Arnold. Joe won an Emmy Award for his work as both an anchor and a reporter, and he is the author of the WHAS 11 political blog. He's married to Whitney Thacker, and they have two sons. And those of you who regularly attend Forum meetings or tune in to hear them, you will recall that Joe moderated the debate among the Democrats contending for their party's nomination earlier this year, and we ask him to return as moderator of today's program. Joe?
Thank you very much. The previous Forum was much more crowded, so we have much more time for each of you to be able to answer our responses today. Basic rules, we're going to have 2 minutes each for both opening and closing statements. As a result of a coin toss, the Republican candidate, Hal Heiner, will go first with both of those. Also, the candidates will be able to ask questions of each other twice during today's program. But certainly, as Dot pointed out, your questions are really essential. In fact, when I do my reporting of this story later on today, your questions will be just as important as what their answers are, because I know that there are very influential people here today who are very interested in the future of our great city, and will be interested to see what you think are the priorities for these candidates to be able to address what is truly an historic election here in Louisville Metro. I've also asked the candidates to give themselves a brief 15 or 20 second biographical statement about themselves as they begin their opening statements. As a result of the coin toss, we turn first to the Republican candidate for Metro Mayor, Hal Heiner.
Well, thank you to the Louisville Forum for what has become a part of the political fabric here in Louisville. Your work through this forum and its debates is closely followed across the community, and I thank you for your leadership in making this available today. You know, I still remember that day back in 1965 when my father called our family into the living room in front of a small black and white TV, and he said, I need you to come in here and see something. And what was playing was the 1965 Kentucky Derby. And he said, we're moving to Louisville, Kentucky. And I had no idea that this city would grab my heart for the last 45 years. We moved to Louisville, Kentucky, so my father would take that job at GE's Appliance Park. I graduated from Atherton High School, went to the University of Louisville, and graduated as a civil engineer, earning a master's in civil engineering. For the next dozen years, I designed roads, bridges, flood protection, throughout in Louisville and throughout the Southeast while being based here in Louisville. And I know that important infrastructure part of government like the back of my hand. I left engineering and moved over into commercial and residential real estate. And then in 1997, my wife and I decided it was time to risk it all to start a company. We know what it is to start a business in Louisville, Kentucky, and we built a business park in South Louisville called Commerce Crossings, a 300-acre business park. We broke ground in 1998. There were zero people working on that 300 acres. Today, there are over 4,000 people working for 32 companies, representing 5 different countries, 10 different states in Commerce Crossing. And that's been my experience for the last 20 years, directly in the field of job attraction, park development, building development, and marketing, attracting the companies into those buildings. Got so excited about merger in 2002 that I thought, finally, we can take our two almost equal governments and merge them into one so this city could move ahead faster. And that's why I'm running for mayor, to take my business experience directly in the field of job attraction, my 8 years of public service experience in Metro Council to help Louisville win the best new jobs and move ahead at a faster pace. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here.
Now please welcome the Democratic candidate for Metro Mayor, Greg Fisher.
Thank you. I'm a lifelong Louisvillian. I'm best known for being a good father of 4 kids. My wife, Alex, and I have raised our children here in the community. From a business perspective, I'm probably best known as the co-inventor of the Servend ice and beverage dispensing machines. We know where you get the ice in the middle and the beverages on either side. There's a lot of reports coming from around town now that people, when they use those ice dispensers and when they push for ice, they shout out Fisher for mayor. So if you're one of those, I appreciate that. Look, this race is about many important issues, but clearly the most pressing issue facing us right now as a community is jobs, the lack of jobs. A few weeks ago, I was campaigning, and many of y'all have heard me say it's about blue-collar jobs, green-collar jobs, white-collar jobs. And the man asked me, what about no-collar jobs? No-collar jobs, obviously no laughing matter. It means when you don't have a job. Right now, 1 out of 4 people in some parts of our city do not have a job. 10% is the citywide average. So this is a serious time. I've created jobs my entire life, either started or invested in over 15 companies locally here, and have created, with the help of others, over 1,000 jobs. From manufacturing companies to software companies to medical devices, I've put people to work right here in Louisville, Kentucky. So I'm a lifelong entrepreneur and job creator. This campaign is also about putting our neighborhoods first. With a new arena and lots of development downtown, downtown's progressing pretty well. So we need to continue to invest downtown, but we also need to spread our investments all across the city. Because when you ask people about Louisville, when you ask them where they're from, they always talk about their neighborhoods. I call it the soul, the originality of our city. It's where people associate with. Whether it's Shawnee, the Highlands, Butchertown, Valley Station, Anchorage, they say where they're from, usually with a nice smile on their face, because they love it. So we're a city of neighborhoods, a city of great soul and great originality that I intend to build on. So I'll be a mayor for all of Louisville, from PRP to Prospect, Russell to Fern Creek. Finally, we need a mayor who's open and honest, a proven leader that has delivered world-class results and can get things done. I've built an unparalleled team from the east, the south, the west, leading CEOs in town, the United Auto Workers, the firefighters, et cetera. It'll take this type of broad and inclusive team to move our city forward. Thank you.
We'll move these microphones into place. For this next portion, the meat of our program, the candidates will stay seated, and you're on the hot seat to be able to provide the questions for our candidates. But before we go to your questions, we're going to allow the candidates to ask each other one question apiece. And again, by virtue of the coin toss, Republican Hal Heiner will ask the first question.
Greg, the last time you were here, you couldn't tell the forum the size of the Metro budget, and you had yet to attend the first Metro Council meeting. Since then, have you taken the time to come down and attend a meeting? And if not, How does that lack of basic involvement prepare you to be mayor?
Okay, the question at the last meeting had to do with a specific side of the budget. Now, fortunately, we have Metro TV, Hal. So your all's meetings are broadcast on TV. That's a much more convenient way to watch the proceedings of government than coming down there. So I've got a lot going on, man. I'm running a campaign. I got fundraisers. I got policy development. So watching you guys on TV is a very pleasurable thing that I do in the privacy of my own house.
And is there a response to the second part of his question about the, or did you already respond to the portion of the budget?
What would you like to know?
The I believe the question was, have you taken the time to look at the size of the city budget? Is that correct?
Sure. I've built budgets my whole life. Studying the city budget is no exclusion from that. We're a budget of about $750 million total budget. We have 7,500 employees. We all know that public safety represents the biggest part of our budget with about 60%, and that's where the primary dollars are spent.
Now the question for Hal Heiner from Democrat Greg Fisher.
Hal, I'd like to, first off, I'd like to say you look nice today. You got that red tie, makes you look very distinguished. Louisville has one of the country's highest asthma rates, 28th out of the top 100 cities, according to the Asthma Association. Yet you voted against our own Clean Air Act here in Louisville called the Strategic Toxic Air Reduction Program. That STAR program has cleaned our air. It's supported by most businesses. Knowing how many children struggle here with asthma in Louisville, do you believe you made a mistake in voting against the Strategic Toxic Air Reduction Program?
The vote against the STAR program was based on a program that came together very quickly without adequate input from the industry and discussion before we take something that could absolutely drive businesses outside of Louisville. But after it passed, I then took the next step, and I became the council's delegate on the strategic toxic air advisory policy to make the program work for businesses here in Louisville. It was a group of about 20 people representing industry, environmental associations, and government. I represented the council and worked to streamline that system. Today, thankfully, we have hired additional engineers that can move those permits through on a timely process. And we also were able to remove from those regulations items that had absolutely no relevance and would have driven companies out of this community. So I do get into the details. I understand what's going on in the bill. But when it, in this case, it did pass, I worked to improve it.
So the answer to the question, did you make a mistake in voting against it, the answer is?
No, the details matter. So that bill needed to be better written. It needed another 3 or 4 months of work to get it to the point that it didn't drive businesses from our community. But I did it outside the process after the vote.
Now time for, as you can see, by the way, I will use some discretion if I believe the question has not been directly answered. However, we want to allow as much time as we can for the candidates themselves. Let's get to your questions now from the Louisville Forum.
To both candidates, some audience members would have little recollection of any mayor other than Jerry Abramson. How would your administration differ most markedly from his?
And I think we'll go first with Greg Fisher.
Okay. I've been an entrepreneur my whole life, so I look at things to see how we can identify connections, get things done. My career has been spent growing jobs and developing jobs. As I said earlier, 15 different companies, over 1,000 jobs. So I go to sleep thinking about jobs. I wake up thinking about jobs. So we'll have an intense focus on that. Likewise, the companies, most notably Servend, we were a finalist for a major national quality award. We won something called the USA Quality Cup as well. So I have an intense focus on taking out waste in any type of operation that I get involved with so we can have a lean business or lean government. In this case, it's focused on the needs of the customers, which is citizens. So I enjoy making operations very efficient.
Hal Heiner.
Would bring about a complete cultural change in this government. I have been a fighter and actually ran on it in 2002 for open, honest, accountable government. And myself, along with Councilman Fleming, we passed the transparency law that required Louisville checkbook to be online, to require our own administration to put it online, because the citizens own this government and have the right to see it. I hope, one, to establish a transparency in this government that lasts the next century, that everything's online, debt schedules, all spending, contracts, it's just available for view, because I am a firm believer that if you let the sun shine in, that the chance for corruption ever being able to creep in is greatly diminished. Secondly, I will become the chief economic development officer in this government. Instead of outsourcing job attraction completely to our Chamber of Commerce, GLI, I would have them involved in the ground game. But what I'm seeing in the best cities and the best chief executive offices across this country is a chief executive that's actually involved in closing the sale together with other business and civic leaders, going to those businesses, building that relationship back to Louisville so that we're not just make the top four in the selection process, we are the final city selected.
Next question.
Gentlemen, thank you again for being a part of the Louisville Forum and the debate today. One thing that's a common denominator among the attendees in the audience here today are your thoughts about our library system. Bonding, funding, will you keep it open on Sundays? How are you going to pay for it? Will you build more of them? Everything but the magazines on the racks this audience wants to know about. So we're interested in hearing from you both on how you differ from your opponent on our master libraries plan.
And by the way, there's like 30 questions dealing with the libraries in your hand, so if you haven't asked your question yet, go ahead and fill out some more questions, folks, because a lot of the libraries. Republican Hal Heiner goes first.
Well, there's certainly a clear contrast on this question between my opponent and myself. I was the leader, the first on the council to stand up and say an additional income tax in Louisville, Kentucky is wrong, that we are the fifth highest taxed community in the country, and if we become the fourth highest taxed, it's an absolute job killer, and we can't do it. But at the same time, not only did I stand up and say we shouldn't have an additional income tax in Louisville, Kentucky, but also came forward with a plan on how we could accomplish improvements to the libraries without an increased tax. And that plan relied on the fact that we have several major bonds for things like Bat Stadium and the airport expiring, and then dedicating those dollars to the library to build the improved library system. I have committed in this race that we will have open the first of three regional libraries in this community, and that's the Southwest Regional Library, by the end of my first term. And we'll continue with other library improvements. I've been a strong supporter for the rest of the system as well.
Greg Fisher.
I've called for Louisville to be a model for the country to be a leader in what I call lifelong learning. Louisville right now invests 14th out of 16th in our peer cities per capita per library. We can't be a lifelong learning community with that type of investment. So we need partnerships between businesses, schools, all of us, obviously, to make our library system better. We have a good regional plan in place. Likewise, I also think the Southwest should be the first library that opens up, and said I will get started on that as well in the early years of my administration and finish that in the first 4 years as well. There's a good plan. It has three regional libraries that puts 90% of our population within 5 miles of a library. That's a great step to making Louisville a leader in lifelong learning.
Next question.
Several members of the audience asked similar questions along the lines that Mayor Abramson has had to deal with problems, or one or two people characterize them as scandals, in various departments. In your view, which department or departments most need an overhaul, and how would you go about accomplishing that?
Greg Fisher.
Well, clearly the headlines would indicate that the housing department has been the department probably needed the most help there. I would institute a culture of audits. In my experience building great businesses, when you have audits that are ongoing, that's how you build excellence. Audits are not something that should be feared. They should be embraced for improvement opportunities. So this is the way that you stay away from scandal. Secondly, our development community complains about the length of time that it is required to build responsibly, both building and balancing the needs of the neighborhood and the environment as well. We are not competitive with a lot of our peer cities, which means we don't create jobs and we don't add value to property, which helps us with our tax revenues as well. That will require a refocusing of that staff on being proactive problem solvers and helping people when they come to invest in our community.
Hal Heiner.
Back when I announced this run for mayor 12 months ago, I said at that time that the first month in office, we'll call for a full audit of every department and affiliated agency with this government so that we can get off to a fresh start. In addition, every department head look at their goals, their abilities, to see if they match the new higher goals for our community. I'll give you a couple of specifics. One area is the way the books are handled in this community. We need a totally fresh start, a new start. We have one set of books that combines dissimilar activities. We have road repair, and at the same time, we have facility maintenance. And then we have garbage pickup, and we have emergency storm pickup, all in one personnel line item. It is impossible to understand in this government whether we're achieving the efficiencies that we hoped merger would achieve. So we'll have an entirely new set of books. We're going to call for an audit on the first day. And I'll tell you one area that specifically needs attention is our emergency medical services. It's in trouble.
Next question.
Well, we both thought this was an interesting question. Maybe it's a think quick on your feet question. If you stepped off an elevator with a business owner looking to relocate a business to a different community, what would your 30-second commercial be on our community?
And Hal Hunter goes first this time.
Okay. Well, first, what's important for a city is to be distinctive. And we can talk about the arts and parks that sets Louisville apart from just about every city in this country. From a quality of life standpoint, we have achieved way beyond our size and also way beyond our competitor cities. So you talk about quality of life. What we also need to be able to talk about is a business-friendly environment, that we have a culture in our government that's welcoming for investment. We don't have that today. Louisville is a leader in red tape when it comes to business expansion in our community. That will change after the first year. So there'll be a difference in that elevator speech today and a year from now. Today we can certainly talk about quality of life and all the great things that are going on in Louisville.
Greg Fisher.
First thing I would say is that I am a job creator, so I've built jobs. I know what it takes to grow a company, so you'll have a mayor that's very sensitive to what your needs are. We've got to operate government at the speed of business these days to be competitive, so that's what I've done my whole life. Second, we have a quality of place here that's unparalleled around the country. You can actually, when I say live here in Louisville, when people say, why do you live in Louisville? I say, because I can. You know, you don't have to fight the rat race. You can go to the arts in 5 minutes. You can go to parks. We have great originality, great soul here. And then in terms of cost of living here, our total cost is also some of the best in the nation between our lower cost of housing, cost of living here. When you add it all together, Louisville is one of the greatest places to live in the world.
Next question.
An audience member asked both candidates, would you support a local sales tax option called the percent for the arts?
A percent for the arts?
The percent for the arts,
the
presumably
percent.
1%.
Thanks, Mr. Fisher.
I just don't feel that there's any sentiment in the community for any type of discussion around taxes. As I talked about earlier, my focus is on making government leaner, getting bigger bang on the buck, for return on tax dollars. So I just don't feel like that's the right path to go down.
Mr. Heiner?
And I'll certainly say there's a big difference and I think a clear choice in the candidates. I was a little surprised to hear that answer, actually, because just a few months ago, the answer to that question, happened to be in an arts forum, from my opponent was, yes, I'd support a percent for the arts. And at that same forum, I said, I will not support any additional taxation in Louisville. If we are the fifth highest city in the country, we cannot increase tax rates, whether it's sales tax, income tax. We cannot go down that path without absolutely shutting down job attraction in this community. We need to find other ways, changing priorities, to accomplish what we need to accomplish in this community. Support of the arts is important, but we cannot increase taxation and still be successful in job attraction.
I do have one follow-up to that question. You have one?
Yeah, I was going to follow up just and ask if, do you support the use of public funds to support the arts? And if so, where's that money, how much, and where does it come from?
Good question. Mr. Fisher, you're going first in this question again. Go ahead.
Well, some of the arts, as we know, is supported through the external agency process right now. Government, I think, can play a useful role in partnering with some of these groups. As mayor, I think the real strength you have is to reach out to the business community to promote partnerships with the arts, but I would continue the small amount of funding that the government is giving to the arts community.
Mr. Heiner?
Yeah. I'm not a big government person. I do feel like government has the possibility to shine the light on a need to bring in private help. But I also feel like government has some responsibility to help financially as well. When that help comes in the future, and just recently talked with Funds for the Arts and said, I would like to see that help be targeted help. Help with youth, for instance, to bring them into the arts community at an early age, to expose them about the great parts about the Louisville arts community, and also help outside of Louisville. What I hope to do is build an urban coalition with other cities in Kentucky so that when we go to Frankfort, we don't go by ourselves. But one way to build that coalition is through relationship. And I'm hoping to help build that relationship by having our arts community out in other cities in Kentucky so Louisville doesn't continue to feel like such an island to the rest of the state. And I would hope government be able to help there as well in some of those travel arrangements to other communities to build that relationship for the bigger purpose of building an urban coalition.
And just so I'm clear, as a yes or no, if I could, gentlemen, are you comfortable with the current level of public funding by Metro government sources for the arts in Louisville? Are you comfortable with the current level that it's funded right now?
I mean, given the budget constraints we have, yes.
Mr. Henner?
I can't say I'm comfortable, but it's economic reality today after 3 years of extremely tight budgets.
Next question.
Gentlemen, there seems to have existed in this community a long time a view that there's a tug of war between Louisville and the rest of the state of Kentucky. We'll call it Frankfort. A large number of people in our audience today want to know how you and your respective administrations envision working with Frankfort, where you see obstacles and where you see opportunities, and quite frankly, what it is you'll fight for us for in Frankfort.
Mr. Heiner.
Okay. Well, a couple of specifics. On Metro Council, had the opportunity to start building a relationship with the two county judge executives in Northern Kentucky over transportation funding. Right now, just the tax that we pay at the gas pump here in Jefferson County, we're getting less than 45% return on the dollar. That needs to change. But there's a formula in Frankfort that was set up maybe at World War II time period, but a formula that favors rural roads over urban cities. You know, we only have 18% of the votes in Frankfort. We've tried for years saying it's not fair, we're the economic engine, and they look back at us and they say, that's right, you are the economic engine, it's not fair, but we're not changing it. We need to get to the point, the only thing Frankfort respects is the votes. And the only way we can go to Frankfort with more than 18% of the votes is to build coalitions, relationships with our surrounding counties and other urban counties in this state so that when we go to Frankfort, that we have the ability to have the votes to get some things done. It's time for Kentucky to invest in cities again.
Mr. Fisher.
Well, the first thing the mayor needs to do is make sure that he's on the same page with the Metro Council and the Jefferson County delegation so when we go to Frankfort, we speak with one voice as Louisville. Secondly, we're both speaking about developing an urban coalition. That's important so that we have the votes to bargain with the rural delegation so that we can get things done here in Louisville. Thirdly, what I would fight for is infrastructure here in Louisville. Ready infrastructure creates jobs. And this is an example of both and. Both Louisville wins and the state wins. The bigger we are in Louisville, the more jobs we create here in Louisville, not only is it good for us, but it's good for the state as well. And then last, I will ask the legislature to hold a session in Louisville. Okay, why? If your biggest customer asked you to come and do a strategic planning retreat at their corporate headquarters, what would you do? You'd say, I'm there. We're the biggest source of revenue for Kentucky. Let's hold a session of the legislature here so we can showcase our community, show them where they need investments here and how that can help the state.
Next question.
It's been 8 years since the merged government took office for the first time, and several members ask about that with questions along the line of whether or not you think that the promise of merger has been fulfilled, and if not, what hasn't been fulfilled, and what would you do to fulfill it?
Greg Fisher.
Well, we've got to remember that we're a baby when it comes to governmental senses. I mean, we're not even 8 years old yet, so it's very much still a young government. What I said that I would do is immediately call together a commission, a think task of folks where we can study what has worked well in the first two terms, the first 8 years of merged government, and then what do we need to change for the second decade. I call it merger 2.0. any learning organization stops and reflects on what worked well, what didn't work well, and they go about changing that. So we need to do that logically as a community as well. We're one big system as a community. We should approach it that way. Certainly, we speak with one voice now from an economic development standpoint. That's fantastic. We have one police force and EMS coverage for the city and county. That's fantastic as well. And there's lots of talk as you go about the community of different groups wanting to merge and talking about things in a different way. So let's reflect on the first decade and prepare for merger 2.0.
Hal Heiner.
I could give you some specifics without waiting for a task force. First, we need to find a way to deliver on the efficiencies that we all talked about when we voted for merger back in 2000. And I'd give the administration high marks for putting the two police departments together, two public works departments. It's been relatively seamless. But one of the main points vote for merger was finding efficiencies in this government. And on the council, we have pushed in the legislative branch, we have pushed for a system of performance measurements to see, are we achieving that efficiency? How are we doing compared to best practices? And each time to be rebuffed by the administration, those performance metrics will be put in place in the first year. But let me tell you a second area that's maybe even more important. And that is when it has come to discretionary spending in this government, that spending has been focused on a 5 or 6 block area in downtown Louisville. We have to change that. We need to level this playing field. Do you remember the signs in front yards that talked about unity? We need to have level spending across this community with the first investment in the areas that have been starved from investment for the last 8 years, and that's South and Southwest Louisville.
One quick follow-up. This is a yes or no, gentlemen. Mr. Fisher first. Knowing now, back in the day, would you support merger if you had the benefit of hindsight?
Absolutely.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes, absolutely. It's the only way for the future.
Next question.
Well, it wouldn't be a Louisville Forum meeting if this topic didn't come up in some way, shape, or form. And although I've tried to avoid it, a handful of questions have asked about it. Bridges Project.
Surprise. I believe you're first, Mr. Henner.
There's a surprise question. I graduated from high school in 1969, which coincidentally is the year that KIPTA issued their first report on transportation in our community. And they talked in that report, that first report, they talked about the East End Bridge. You know the sentence they had for the East End Bridge? Build it on an accelerated schedule. And here we are 41 years later. We need to build the East End Bridge. I have committed that in my first term, if I have to drive the bulldozer myself, we will get the East End Bridge under construction. On the downtown bridge, I don't see any way at this point that it's affordable for this community. High tolls separates our economic region into pieces. I've heard concerns from restaurants, the arts community. All of a sudden, their economic region is smaller if we divide it at the river with high tolls. We need to find an affordable way to make improvements at the Kennedy Bridge, but we need to separate the project, take the East End Bridge to construction, and find a way to streamline the cost to an affordable level downtown.
Greg Fisher.
The Bridges Project, to me, is one of our biggest economic development initiatives since World War II. So it's important to me that we move forward with the program. Now, we have got to be able to afford it, obviously. The bridges create 5,600 jobs per year for the whole project itself and tens of thousands more after that. So the question is, can we afford this as a community? The Bridges Coalition or Bridges Authority is working on this right now. We need to see what they have to say. If they come back and clearly it's impractical for us to do it, then we do need to go to a plan B. And like Hal, I agree that the East End Bridge needs to go first. The other thing that we need to do is fight for more dollars. If there's higher tolls, if we get more money from Frankfurt and or the federal government, obviously our tolls go down as well. So let's approach this on a couple different areas. Let's look at what the facts are. Let's keep the benefits of the Two Bridges, One Project in mind as we go about this. And that's the way Kentucky and Indiana has funded this. This is not an a la carte menu. Let's see what the facts are and then go from there.
One thing to be clear on, gentlemen, too, what are your positions on the Drummond Art Estate in the East End, which currently, as a result of it being there, a tunnel needs to be built to avoid upsetting that historic estate. The question is, do you support it remaining an historic estate, or would you push for it being removed from that register so the project would be less expensive? I'll ask you first, Mr. Heiner.
Okay. First, it's a $260 million tunnel. According to the Bridges Authority, the savings, if you went with a bridge across 42 instead of a tunnel, the net savings is about $80 million. But they said there's also probably a four-year environmental penalty by delaying that project, pushing it out over time, just to go back through the environmental process that may or may not be successful. I think at this point, if we're building the East End Bridge, it has to go ahead with the tunnel and get it under construction.
Mr. Fisher?
Well, no, I don't think I'm the best person to micromanage the elements of this project, too. There's professionals that have been working on this that don't know the Bridgepoint subdivision is involved with this. Like Hal, I've heard about the environmental impact and the delay associated with that. So we've got some good people working on this project. We should look at what the final financing plan looks like and proceed with the project.
So TBA on Drummondard?
Well, our experts have said go underneath it. I'm not going to micromanage that.
Okay. Next question.
We have separate questions on other topics, but one other follow-up on the bridges. If economics do indeed necessitate reducing the project for the time being to one bridge, why not build the bridge downtown and deal with Spaghetti Junction, where the traffic issues are, rather than build just an East End Bridge, which the project studies show don't have much traffic control impact?
Mr. Heiner is the first responder to the bridge question, so you can go again.
Well, thank you. Actually, the construction of the East End Bridge drops about 20%, 20 to 25% of the traffic off the downtown bridge. This is critical. The existing Kennedy Bridge, the deck on that bridge is shot. It has reached the end of its useful life. So just imagine, without an East End Bridge, shutting down one or two lanes for a couple years while all the concrete is removed, all the steel, I just can't imagine the kind of bottlenecks we're talking about without the East End Bridge. We need that second route so that when there's problems on the Kennedy, we have another way that commerce can continue to grow in our community. So the East End Bridge needs to come first.
Greg Fisher.
The assumption I'd be going underneath there is we'd find out that we don't have the money to do the project. The whole project, as you know, costs about $4 billion. $3 billion of that approximately is tied up with the downtown bridge and Spaghetti Junction. So the East End Bridge is going to be the most affordable way to start as well.
Any other bridge follow?
No. In a lighter vein, I hope, as the audience finishes up its healthy salad and contemplates the platter of cookies, a couple of people ask what ideas the candidates have to encourage healthy eating and exercise habits in Louisville. How would you improve the mayor's healthy hometown movement and work with JCPS and their curriculum and cafeteria? And specifically, what actions would you try to take to combat the obesity trend?
Mr. Fisher.
The mayor's healthy hometown program has been embraced by the community. That's an example of a good program. You certainly want to keep all the good programs that exist and grow on those. I was down at the hike and bike here on Monday, had record attendance. I said, what I'd like to do is add a third element to that, call it hike, bike, and paddle, so the kayakers and canoers can also participate in their healthy hometowns on Sunday. You're starting to see a lot more canoes and kayaks around town. In terms of public health, I'm particularly interested in public health equity issues. This is an area that Dr. Troutman has led the country in and also our city here, so we can get away from the higher cost of poor health later on in somebody's life. Dealing with issues like access, food deserts, et cetera. And then a specific initiative that I've been working on has been working with Jefferson County Public Schools to put a nurse in every school so we can get ahead of some of the health problems that our kids have. They obviously have to be healthy so they can go to school, complete school, and be ready for jobs in the future.
Hal Heiner.
I think we have several opportunities here. And I would, again, give the administration high marks for their hike and bike plan and other efforts to get people moving. With a new health director coming in here to Louisville, probably shortly after the first of the year, I would hope that would be an individual that would be focused on getting our youth moving in our community. Every opportunity that has to be a partnership with Jefferson County Public Schools, and I have invited, or will invite, once this campaign's successful, the superintendent to be a member of the mayor's cabinet. So we have a very close relationship. think we need to have as a priority completing the 100-mile loop. We'll have it about half completed when 21st Century Parks completes their work on along Floyd's Fork. But it's those I'll call them sparkle ideas in a city completing that loop that I think raises the elevation of the understanding of the need for healthy lifestyle. And lastly, I've proposed from a food standpoint tripling the number of community gardens in our community from about 30 today to about 100. The city owns about 800 vacant lots. We have plenty of room to do it. We need a lot more community gardens. It's great for health and it's great for social networking.
We'll see if we can borrow 15 seconds from Mr. Fisher next time here.
Thank you.
It's time now for our candidates to ask each other their second question of each other. And Greg Fisher will now ask Hal Heiner.
Okay, thank you. Hal, I co-own two small buildings in southern Indiana and understand the importance of regionalism, but we've put the businesses up for sale or the buildings up for sale because I believe it's a conflict for the potential Louisville mayor to have property for economic development purposes across the river. Now, I believe you have 2 million square feet of property in southern Indiana. Is that correct?
We have four buildings, yes.
Okay, so 2 million square feet. And that you're advertising right now 500,000 of them for lease. So do you believe it's a conflict of interest for you to have 2 million square feet of property in southern Indiana that can attract businesses away from Louisville if you are mayor of Louisville?
Well, first off, it definitely will not be a conflict. There will be no conflict. I've stopped all development activity. A year ago when I announced this run, I left my business. I still do have investment there. Assuming when this campaign is successful, all of those investments will be put in a qualified blind trust, and there will be no communication. And Greg, as you may not know, in economic development, the location where the building goes, whether it's in building A, B, C, or D, is typically government does not get involved in that. What they get involved is in trying to attract those businesses into the community. And that'll be my role as Chief Economic Development Officer. All of my interests will be in a qualified blind trust with no communication. So no, it will not be a conflict of interest.
Question from Hal Heiner to Greg Fisher.
Greg, in your campaign, you voiced your support. In fact, you contributed money for the library tax initiative, said you voted for it, but you voiced your support for an increased income tax in Louisville. You also supported, at a recent forum, an increased sales tax for Louisvillian. And at the same time in your campaign, you have announced three new government programs. Are there any more government programs you want to fund with higher taxes on Louisvillians?
First off, on the library, Hal, Louisville needs to be a lifelong learning community, and we need to invest smartly to do that. As you know, when you take a look at my business record, my businesses have been nationally recognized for customer satisfaction, for productivity, for taking waste out. That's what I specialize in. You also change resources around. I believe we need to have what I call an office for innovation to build on the things that are unique to Louisville so that we can create jobs. We just don't need to do things the same old way. Leading requires creativity, requires innovation. Sometimes that means you move your resources around and do things differently.
I have one question for each of you before we go back to the Louisville Forum questions. As a reporter, oftentimes we go forward with what we believe to be the truth or what we believe to be the positions of each of you or any candidate. I'm just curious, is there anything that you want to clarify at all today or any misperceptions you think the public might have about you or about the other candidate that you want to have addressed? Mr. Fisher, you're on the hot seat.
You've mentioned a couple times about taxes and income tax. When you do that, are you referring to the library tax? Or?
Yes.
And is that how do you want to address that?
That was an initiative a couple years ago, and I'm a firm believer that we need libraries in the community. I think that Hal, you and some other folks hijacked that issue, and you turned it into an issue against investing in our community. You did not come back with a constructive solution until recently when you were running for mayor. I think that's the wrong way to lead. We either pay for it or you come back with a quick solution right away.
Any misperceptions or clarifications?
Well, I certainly have to clarify that. On the tax situation, it is a fundamental difference, I think, in the candidates in this race. On one's says we need some new departments and higher taxes are okay. Actually, I've fought against taxes because I know the effect. From talking with these companies, I know the effect of going any higher, going from the fifth to the fourth highest tax city in the country. We cannot do it and remain a great city. So there is a big difference there. In terms of the plan, at the same time that I said we should not go forward with the tax, I had the plan, and that's the plan I hope to implement as mayor. And then right after the tax was defeated, joined in a bipartisan way with Councilman King and others to come up with a plan on how we can improve taxes that we've been to the Library Advisory Board. You know, my wife was a former editor of the Friends of the Library's newsletter. I understand the importance of libraries. They're important, but we cannot increase taxes in Louisville and continue to be successful.
More forum questions.
Gentlemen, we understand that a job cures many qualms, and your desire, both of your desires, to bring jobs to this community are duly noted in your response to this question. But a thoughtful questioner asks, what can I expect from my neighborhood that's not in the east end of Louisville? When community centers are funding's being cut, there are dirty streets and abandoned buildings. Would you each care to comment on that, please?
Mr. Heiner.
Okay. Absolutely. We will have a different priority in the next administration, certainly in the housing area. We have a crisis in Louisville. It may not be known in my district, in the Middletown district I've represented for the last 7.5 years, but today we have 7,000 boarded up homes in the community, and it's increasing. In the last budget process, I asked the administration, I said, how many people do we have focused on trying to match up state and federal grants with the 7,000 abandoned homes to get that shelter back in production? The answer was, out of 7,300 employees in this government, the answer was zero. That will be a different priority in a Heiner administration. We're going to find a way, like other cities have, to get houses that pull down a neighborhood when they're boarded up and at the same time become incubators for crime when the back door is kicked in to get them back in production. And secondly, we're going to find a way for older industrial buildings to become incubator space for startup businesses, bare light bulb space that puts the lights back on in the neighborhood, helps the neighborhood, and at the same time gets more businesses starting right here in Louisville.
Greg Fisher.
I'm at a meeting the other day, and this woman is talking about this issue, and she keeps telling me the circle of love is getting too much attention. The circle of love gets all the love. And I finally say, what is the circle of love, man? And she says, the circle of love is the area inside of the Waterson Expressway. So there's a perception in the community that there's overinvestment inside the Waterson and not as much investment outside. This next mayor has a great chance to show that they're a mayor for all of Jefferson County, throughout, with both within the circle of love and outside the circle of love. A couple specific things. One is to creating neighborhood action teams so that we can go into a neighborhood with the police, fire, city code inspectors, county attorney, so we can deal with issues right then. People are frustrated. They report problems to government. They say, we'll get back with you, or you come to some type of forum. Let's go into the community with that problem-solving team so we can take care of action right now. There's unprecedented challenges in terms of foreclosed homes in the community. We need unprecedented responses as well. We need to work with our county attorney to change the laws so that we can go after deadbeat landlords. I don't care if it's sending Metro TV after these folks so we can shame them into taking care of their properties. We need to do that. We need to secure abandoned properties and sell them for a dollar, either for a responsible home development after that, community gardens, community parks, whatever. But we need unprecedented response right now to these neighborhood crises.
And our final question for our candidates from the Louisville Forum.
Several audience members asked about an issue that isn't a direct mayoral responsibility, but is an important community issue, and the mayor does have a bully pulpit and an important voice. Do you support the JCPS school attendance plan? And what is your position on students attending a neighborhood school or the school closest to their home?
Mr. Fisher.
Well, of course, nobody in the community agrees with excessive transportation times for kids to be on buses for a couple hours a day. I think we all agree on that. I do believe neighborhood schools should be a goal. But we have got to also maintain the choice, which is in the student assignment plan that we have right now. We need to ultimately prepare our kids to be competitive in a global economy. And that means that they need to be able to operate in a diverse environment as well. So we have a plan that's a work in process that still is trying to achieve all these goals. I think we keep our head down. We keep trying to improve it. We make sure transportation times are as short as possible. I don't think we need Frankfurt telling us how to do this. We've had local control over our schools for a long time. I think we should keep it that way as well. And a statistic, out of 100,000 kids, 5,000 requests transfers were received, and only 2,000 couldn't have been met. So the mayor's ultimate responsibility is to encourage the community that the education that our kids receive is as good as any in the world.
Mr. Heiner.
Certainly education is one of the two main areas I hear about at front doors, at festivals, as I just travel throughout this community. It's jobs and education over and over. And at times I've said, well, that isn't a direct mayoral responsibility. And there's an elected school board, and they said, we understand that, but what are you going to do about education? It is an important topic and a topic that we have to make better progress. You know, some 20 blocks from here, there's an area of five schools that four of those five schools are among the worst five schools in the state of Kentucky. We should never have that here in Louisville, Kentucky. I support the diversity goals of the student assignment plan, but I do not support the current student assignment plan. We need to find a way through incentives, through more traditional schools, more magnet schools, improving our failing schools. We need to find a way to achieve those diversity and education goals, but it's time for some major focus on improving schools in Louisville, Kentucky. By any measure, we're in trouble in education, and as mayor, I hope to pull people together to try to make advancement in that area.
Now time for our closing statements. I'll ask each candidate, beginning with Mr. Heiner, to return here to the rostrum for 2 minutes closing statement.
You know, Louisville has the richest history of any city in the Midwest. You know, from our founding 200 years ago, that has made us a diverse community as a river town. And 100 years ago, someone had the foresight to invite Frederick Law Olmsted here, and now we have the most extensive Olmsted Park system in the country, the father of landscape architecture, even though he's from Boston, here in Louisville, Kentucky. 50 years ago, we saw the arts grow here in Louisville, that today we're still in the top 13 cities in the country in arts. And today, out along Floyd's Fork, we see the construction underway on the largest expansion of a park system anywhere in this country. In 2003, we saw this community take a major step when we voted and installed the first metro government. The purpose was for our city to unify and allow us to move forward at a faster pace. It was also a time to set goals, to set a vision for this community, something that we could all pull together, civic community, business community, education community, that we could accomplish greater goals than we had ever accomplished before. I got excited in 2002, ran for Metro Council, because I thought we could finally realize the potential of Louisville. Well, in the ability to set those goals and help our community move forward, I ask you a question. Does experience matter? Does going through 8 budget processes and committees, understanding what's going on in EMS and police and fire and public works and parks, does that matter in the next mayor of Louisville? Well, on November 2nd, the voters will have a clear choice. They'll have a clear choice on experience, a clear choice on direct experience in job attraction, and clear choice on a candidate who has stood up time and again for the taxpayers in this community. I need your help on November 2nd, and I ask for your support. Thank you.
Two-minute closing statement from Greg Fisher.
Well, thank you all for your time. Appreciate that. My wife, Alex, and I have raised our 4 children here in Louisville, and we love this city, just like many of you all do, and just like I'm sure my opponent does. But Hal and I have very different worldviews. I'm the candidate, I believe, that represents the excitement and the potential of a city moving forward. I'm the candidate who put our city back to work. Hal says he attracts jobs. I create jobs. We'll put neighborhoods first. We have the coalition to get things done, and we'll do everything in the open. My opponent has been on the Metro Council for nearly 8 years, but he's been the voice of no time and time again. No to the STAR Clean Air Program. No to fairness, our community's anti-discrimination ordinance. And no to the widely accepted smoking ban. I could go on and on, but Joe's only given me 2 minutes. Certainly an elected official should question, but the role of a leader is to build consensus in a team to constructively move forward. That's what I've done throughout my life. We need a mayor with a can-do spirit, a mayor that will say yes, an entrepreneurial mayor, a mayor who, with all of y'all's help, can make our city the best city in the country. Let's talk a little bit more about jobs. I go to sleep thinking about jobs. I wake up thinking about jobs. The other night, I woke up my wife at 2 o'clock in the morning when I was shouting, jobs, jobs, jobs. So I have a plan for putting our city back to work, and I've done that throughout my career. We can be the global leader for corporate headquarters in the aging care space, efficient appliances, building Renaissance Park to be the next Riverport, et cetera. You can read about my plan at gregfisher.com. Now, quick commercial. Please attend our final 50 days campaign kickoff rally this Sunday at our headquarters at Payne and Lexington and Distillery Commons from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. We'll have live music by Harmonica Red, Fourth Fisherman, food from all of our great local restaurants, and games for children and even pets. So I look forward to seeing you all at our headquarters Sunday, 3 to 6 o'clock, and I humbly ask for your vote on November the 2nd. Thank you.
And again, to close our program, Dot Ridings of the Louisville Forum.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much. And thanks to all of you for being here. A special thanks to our two candidates who are with us today. We also thank the many local supporters of the Louisville Forum, including the firm of Bandy Carroll Heilig, which monitors our media coverage. And I think I just mispronounced that, but I apologize. I'm still new to town, sort of. We hope you will join us again next month on the third Wednesday, October the 20th, when we feature candidates for Congress Todd Lally and John Yarmuth. Do make your reservations early. We expect to sell out crowd on our reservation line, 329-0111, or on the website, louisvilleforum.org. Until next month, I'm Dot Ridings for the Louisville Forum, and we are adjourned.
Thank you, Dot.